Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. For those of you who are tuned in by internet, we are an interactive Bible study, and that means that you have an opportunity to be able to call in and participate. And we do invite each and every one of you to call in and be a part of this blog radio cast. Amen. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, we would connect you. Amen. We'd also like to inform those of you who are online listening to please make sure that you mute your phone. And the reason I'm asking that is we can hear everything in the background. These microphones are extremely sensitive. We can hear when you're washing dishes or even sneezing. Amen. So it becomes a distraction to the speaker. So we ask that you mute your phones, and when you're getting ready to speak, you can unmute it. Oftentimes, we will open up the mics so, you know, we can hear everything in the background. We started off closing off the mics, and then when someone wanted to speak, they would have to push the number one. And we found it easier just to leave the mics on. So we've been doing that, and everyone has been cooperating, and we do thank you for that. This evening, before we say that, I'm going to turn it over. We'll be in Hackensack, New Jersey, amen, Hackensack, New Jersey, with Reginald C.A. Miles, Pastor Reginald C.A. Miles. I hope I got that right, Pastor Miles. But anyhow, we will be in Hackensack. So we're going to ask that if you could, you know, we know that you have those on your prayer list. We're going to ask that you lift up a prayer for those who are in the sick homes, those who are coming to hospitals and have been ill, those who are in nursing homes, those who are in hospice, even those who have Alzheimer's. There are so many diseases that has been attacking the body of Christ. And I do believe that when we come together as a body, as the body of Christ, that there's power in prayer. Amen. The word says, you know, that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. That just means that when you're sincere about what you are praying for, God is on the job. I'm not saying that he's not on a job any other time, but he does look at our heart and our intentions. So I'm not going to prolong it any longer. We also let you know that please, if you don't get an opportunity to listen this evening, you can go to the archives and go into Blog Talk Radio, then type in We Can Begin Again, which is the URL, and you can pull up this message again and share it with a friend. We have about over 300 messages on there, and it becomes a good witness tool to share with others. Amen. So we do thank you for that. I thank God that we have not had any technical issues, because oftentimes, sometimes we'll come on and there are technical issues just as we're getting ready to begin. But we know that God is in control of it all. Even though that there are technical difficulties, God does turn those things that are crooked and he straightens it out. Amen. Right now, we're going to move over into Hackensack, New Jersey, and we're going to turn it over to Pastor Miles, and I'm going to move out of the way. Pastor Miles, we have those who are on the prayer list. If you could lift up, you know, those in prayer, amen, we do appreciate that. Sir, are you there?
Amen, Brother Elder. I'm there. How you doing today?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to hear your voice.
Great. Can you hear me clear?
Yes, sir. We can hear you.
Outstanding, outstanding. Let us look towards God for a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you right now, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Lord,
yes.
We come to you thanking you for this day that you have created, Lord. You create another day that we'll never see again. And Lord, we thank you for last night's lying down and the rise of today. Lord, we thank you for life, health, and strength. It's because of you we live and move and we have our being. And Lord, that is something that's not to be taken lightly. Because, Lord, there are many who are afflicted everywhere, those who are in the hospital, those who are convalescing at home. Lord, we ask and we lift them up to you right now. Lord, you know them better than know ourselves, and we pray that all will be healed in a timely fashion. We say
yes.
Right now, Satan, take your hand off of God's property. And we command
mm-hmm.
that now in the name of Jesus.
In
Lord,
the name
God,
of Jesus.
To release your anointing afresh upon those who are sick right now. Lord, they may be
yes.
sick in their body, but we claim right now in the name of Jesus, they are well in their spirit. And we know
yes.
right now in the spirit realm that they are already feeling well. We just need that to manifest
yes.
into the natural. We are trusting and believing, knowing that you can and knowing that you will. Because we know that you can and we know that you will. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes. In the name of Jesus, amen.
On tonight, I have, if you've read the portion of Scripture, we're going to read it again. I want to talk about small things getting big things done. This is actually a theme that I had heard some over 25, maybe close to 30 years ago in the city of Newark, New Jersey. And I was listening to a minister on tape, and the theme actually caught my ear. And one thing I like to do is I like to actually dig into Scripture and find out how that applied to me. And I've preached from this text quite a few times, but this angle in which I would like to come at is a little bit different than the other times that I have spoke on it. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're coming out of 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and we're going to start at verse 20. I'm reading from the King James text. Now, once again, as I like to say, and I've said in time past, we're not going to read through Scripture fast just to prove that we can read. We're going to take our time and let the Word of God minister to us strictly through the reading, because Scripture teaches us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And one thing I want the Word to do to you is I want you to hear this and get faith behind it. And when you have the experience and you operate out of faith and experience, the Word of God can become that more alive to you if you allow it to. Starting at verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made the foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice what it says again. It pleased God. It set well with him by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. The foolishness of preaching, not the preaching of foolishness. I need you to get that. Verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the men, excuse me, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world, of the world, to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And once again, I want to talk about small things getting big things done. The angle in which I want to come to you on this on tonight, there's someone listening right now who God has a work for. Believe it or not, if you're listening now, God already has a work for you to do, but you're hesitating. And many people hesitate because they feel that they are not worthy to do the work of God. All people are not called to preach the gospel. All people are not called to go door to door. Some are just called to be a doorkeeper. But one thing I want you to understand, God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the call. If we take a look in the scripture, we see God has a way of thinking of taking small things to do great things. The scripture talks about humbling yourself so you can be exalted in due time. See, many people are in the realm that I have my managerial position, and I have my degree, and I have my diploma. I'm the good Reverend Dr. So-and-so, and I'm not putting down education. It's good to have so that you know how to move. However, if you do not take the learning and add it to your burning, the learning will put it out, and you will exalt yourself just to be humbled later, or to be humbled or to be humiliated. And to be humiliated is a bad thing. Now you're humbled the wrong way, or the way that probably you needed to be because you were full of pride. But for those of you who feel that you have something to offer, but you're scared to do it, or you may say, I can't do this, let's look at what the scripture says. It says in verse 20, where are the wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the philosopher? Where's the scholar? Where are these people at? How many times have you seen the smallest person who people thought would do nothing get overlooked, and then later on, that is the very same person God used to exalt? In verse 25, it says God takes God's foolishness. It's wiser than us. Now, we may take something to be, oh, that can't be used. That's something that's, no, it's not going to happen. I don't see it happening. See, when you start going into scripture and start thinking God think and start talking God talk, then you will be able to understand what Christ is saying, or what the word of God is saying to someone in the life of a person who seems to have nothing going for them. I want to give you a few examples of a few things that, some small things that would get big things done. And I'm going to take it on over to another realm as well. Do you remember Gideon when God wanted to use him? Gideon wanted to make sure that he was the one. So he dealt with a fleece and the ground. And if you really want to take a look at that, you can go on over to Judges, the sixth chapter. Go from verses 36 to 39. And in your own time, sit back and read that. And you'll see how God took and used the ground and a piece of fleece to communicate to a man who had a question about, am I the one that you truly want? Look at Gideon. He felt that he was not even worthy of doing so. And the thing, another thing that I want to bring out is also in that same book of Judges, we'll look at Saul. Saul became king because the people wanted to have a king like everybody else. Where did God pick that king from? He picked him out of the tribe of Benjamin. Did you know, or did you not know, that Benjamin was the smallest tribe in Israel? Not only did God go to the smallest tribe in Israel, he went to the least family to find the one to make king. Think about it. We've heard so much about Saul, his stature, good-looking man, and all that kind of carrying on. But what did God do? God honored what the people wanted, but went and got the most least person in the family from the smallest tribe to make king. At this time, I want to open up the mics. And I want you to think about what was just said and even think about some things that you have seen in your own life or even you're seeing around the world. Is there any other example that you can think of where you saw something small, got a big thing done? The mics are open. Okay, let's proceed on. Let me give you another example of something. How many of you would go on a vacation trip? Or you will hear of someone taking a vacation and they will get ready to board a plane out of your local airport, let's say getting ready to travel. Let's say getting ready to travel to Paris. And in the process of that, you hear flight 101 has been canceled. You find out later why flight 101 has been canceled, because there was a screw on the pilot's plane, in his seat on the plane, that broke. A small screw. But the screw is so important to that chair that they do not have any in stock. What about the people now that's on that plane? How many people on that flight? How many people now have to find lodging for a night or have to call other loved ones to say, I'm not coming? Because of this small screw, this small thing that seems so insignificant that it made a big thing happen. The plane can't take off. People have to find lodging. More people have to find places to eat. Some people can't go anywhere. Some have to stay there in the airport. Think about the small, insignificant thing. Think about that thing that happens that makes big things happen for you, for yourself. If you are a type of person that feel that you have nothing to offer God, you are the very one he wants to use.
Amen.
Don't feel that when you go into the church building and you see the people dressed well and they walk around with their heads high and their shoulders broad, like there are somebody in the church of great position, but you feel that you are not that. If you are humble and you are the person that feels that you have nothing, I know I'm repeating myself because I want to get this across to you. You are the very person that Christ can use. True testimony. I was about 12 years old. Trinity Baptist Church, Hackensack, New Jersey. One of the big brothers from the neighborhood, he has gone on to be with the Lord for some time now, named Sam Person. We called him Genie. He used to stand in front of us, and he used to teach us Sunday school. And I was the very person that said, I could never do that. I could never preach or teach the Bible. I could never understand it. But as time developed, I was the very same person that Christ could use. I just did not see it at that time. So when I became 25 years old, God called me into the ministry. And he will equip you for what you need. All you have to do is take it one step at a time. How do they say, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Take the small things the things that you seem to be insignificant to you, you do a small thing over a period of time, it will add up. For the person who may be saving for a house, may be saving for a car, you may be saving for your condo, you may be saving for a lawnmower, you may be saving for some silverware. It doesn't take for you to do big things at one time. It doesn't take for you to do big things all at once. Do a little bit at a time. Do a little bit here and leave it there. Come back a little bit more, do a little bit more and leave it there. Do a little bit more and leave it there. Well, what happens when it gets to the point where you can't do it anymore? Then you stop. And you go back and you look at that which you have done, which will motivate you more to add a little bit more when you can. See, many of us have the understanding that if we're not doing it all at once, we're not getting anything done. Not so. Mm-hmm. See, that is the way the world wants us to think. But if we do a little bit at the time and just hold fast to it, then we will be all right. See, in this passage of scripture in Corinthians, these people in the city of Corinth, they basically had porch there. And money was coming in and money was going out. And you know how people get when they have money. They want to look the part. They want to be the part. They want to really be braggadocious on the money in which they have. But if you sit back and you really look at it, when that money is gone, they fall back to what? Being small again. They fall back to being small. Why? Because they let themselves be exalted. See, but God wants things small so he can exalt it in due time. And if you do that, then you will be able to get that big thing done. But you have to get that in you. And many of us think that if we just don't do that, we're not going to get recognized. We're not going to get where we're not going to get where we need to be. Not true. But you have to be obedient to the call. Go back over to the book of Exodus. When Moses was actually being sent to go get the people of Israel, he felt that he was not worthy of such a thing. And he says, I believe it's around Exodus 3, I think it's somewhere around verse 11, which is, who am I that I may go to Pharaoh? Tell him, let the people go. Who am I to do such a thing? But God let him know that he's going to be with him. He can use that. Then he turns around and he says, well, I think it's somewhere around the Exodus, the fourth chapter, somewhere around verse 10, where he says to God, I'm not good in speech. I'm not eloquent in speech. But he used already what he had. God, I'm going to be with you. Then he tells him to take his brother Aaron, who's good in speech. So he's going to supply everything that's needed. He just needs that willing vessel. And you are that vessel if you feel that you are not qualified. Remember, God doesn't call a qualified. He qualifies the call. Microphones are open. Is there one? Mm-hmm.
I would have to concur with you. A lot of things we consider to be small, or there are things that are big that really are small, that we put too much attention on. It might be how much money we have, and it's really, aside your house, it's really you're seeking praise or attention from people who see what you have or how you dress, whereas you're not really focused on God or godly things. And we have to remember, as we walk, we have to do the talk. People are paying attention to what we do, what our actions are. And I was taught it's not how much money you make, it's what you do with it. And even with your actions, that same principle applies. Education, whether you have a high school diploma or a master's degree, how are you applying yourself to be successful? Are you following God's word? But sometimes the very small things make the biggest difference. We have to not act in a foolish manner, and we have to remember God is stronger, wiser than we are, and we have to follow him in his direction, his teachings. Sometimes people pray for the wrong reason. They're praying for approval of others as opposed to praying for true worship of God, the true communication of God, you know?
Amen.
So we have to pay attention to our actions, our motivations, and that we are learning and not acting in a foolish manner.
Yeah, that's true, because I want you to think about it. Scripture is clear. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. So whenever we think that we're doing something all big and profound in ourselves, remember, it is of filthy rags. So you have to understand that I know I keep repeating myself on this because I'm really trying to drive this point home. That small thing that you think is not important, that is most of the time the most important thing that could be the key to everything. That simple yes, that simple no. Think about, you may do a recipe. Vanilla extract, I think it is?
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to add but so much of that stuff in whatever you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's so powerful.
It's
or bay leaf or two.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another?
This is good, Pastor Miles. God bless you, sir.
Bless you.
Amen.
I like small things getting big things done. And what the scripture that came to my mind was, little becomes much when you place it in a master's hands.
That's right.
So when we think that the little things, like you said, is insignificant, as you continue to build on it, it becomes something greater. Like a lot of people don't even think in a spiritual aspect that even prayer, even start 5 minutes a day. And as you build on that, because some people think that prayer is a chore, when actually prayer is a privilege. When
come
you,
on.
And it seems like I'm going off into a tangent, but what I'm saying is, as they put the time in, even if it's 5 minutes a day, God honors that 5 minutes because you're purposely doing it. I remember when my sister was in one of my sisters was in high school. She was going to her prom, and she was my mother was doing a whole lot. She was working, my sister, and my mother was doing a whole lot to prepare for her prom. And I know that she wanted to go with her friends, and they had wanted to get a limousine, and she wanted to get a dress. She wanted to help my mother out, but she wanted to do a lot for herself. So what I told her is, take some envelopes. You want to go to your prom, you want to do this, you want to do that. Take different envelopes, put the name of what you want to be done on that envelope, and you add to it every week that you get paid. Add to it, add to that. Add to this. And after a while, she had so much. And like what you said, add to it and forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of it, you'd be surprised of how much you've accumulated. And the same thing with prayer. You
yes.
put that 5 minutes in. And before you know it, you're rushing to get before the Lord, and now you're 10 minutes. Now it's a half an hour. Now it's an hour. And you're saying, my goodness, where did the time go? That's because you put that time in. And
that's right.
Beginning it was such a little thing. But you know what? God honored that little thing. And like I said, little becomes much.
Yes. Yes. And I'm with
and
you on
can
that.
You continue to build on that. And then the outcome of that is now you, not only you have that communication with God, the intimacy with God, the potency of your spiritual life being greater.
That's right.
Now that when you go out, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, leads you to pray for that individual. It's like breathing in and out because it becomes second nature.
Yes.
You don't have to reach for the words because Him, Holy Spirit, because you have put in that time with Him, has now led you into how to pray for that individual.
Yep, and that's the whole thing of it right there.
I know I went all over the place.
No, but that's okay, and it's a good thing you did because there are many angles in which I wanted to touch. You touched on them already, and I'm thankful for that. Oh, no, please. No, don't apologize for being late. You start praying for about 3 minutes.
Right.
Then it gets to that 5 minutes. And before you know it, what you are actually opening up is your prayer life.
Amen.
And then by you doing so, the anointing comes on you. By you starting off small, now you have that anointing on you. And when you walk out, the anointing is on you, and the Spirit's, okay, you pray for that person right now. Anoint them with oil. Lay hands on them. See, it all started with something small.
Right. And it got a big thing done. You go
ahead.
Exactly.
And see, that's the concept I wanted to get across today. Especially for the one who says that I can't do nothing for Christ. Stop saying that because you are now the very one He can use. I remember when I was actually in credit card banking, and one of the managers had called me into his office, and we were having a conversation, and he said to me, "I don't understand how people here say that they can't save any money." And I looked at him and said, "They can't save any money." And he told me something that I want to share with you people who feel you can't save any money. You work every day. You got a full-time job. You got a part-time job. You got a weekend job. But you still can't seem to save any money. I'm going to give you a formula right now that's a small thing could help get that big thing done.
Mm-hmm.
When you get paid out of every paycheck, take one penny, one nickel, one dime, one quarter, take $1 bill, one $5 bill, and one $10 bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's just it. Get an envelope and put it in there.
That's good.
Put it in your sock drawer. Put it in your underwear drawer. Every time you get paid. Then if that emergency should happen to come up, that flat tire, or you need an oil change, or baby needs shoes for school.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Sweet 16 coming up, and your baby needs a dress. Or people like to say, you like to get that Easter dress or them Easter shoes. Your money is right there.
Wow, yes.
See, but these are the types of things that are just small, that seem insignificant, but it will get that big thing done.
Yeah, we look,
look
over it. Yeah, you're so right.
Now, putting into more Bible here,
amen.
Small things getting big things done.
Mm-hmm.
Turn to Matthew 14, verses 15 to 21. We're not going to read it for time's sake. They actually took two fish and five loaves to feed 5,000 men.
Wow, yes.
And that didn't even include the women and the children.
Mm-hmm.
How was that possible? You have to have something to start off with.
Oh, that's
and
good.
That's what, you have to have something to start off with. Well, you may be saying, "Bro, Pastor, I don't have anything to start off with." Yes, you do. Sis just told you. You got prayer.
Mm.
You have prayer. Or even, I would believe there was a portion of Scripture where one of the prophets had said to us, "Well, what do you have?" "Well, I think I have a little cake and a little
meal, we're going to eat it, and we're going to make me a little cake first.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You have something to get started. Be faithful with that which you have. Faithful in little, faithful in much. Start off with that small thing, that thing that you think is insignificant.
That's good.
You see a brother or sister out there that's dirty, but you know in your closet you got that Octagon soap, that general purpose soap and the washcloth and the towel? Let them clean themselves up. You did something small. You planted a good seed.
That's good, Pastor. That's good.
You see somebody thirsty, you have two bottles of water, give them one. Something small, something seem to be insignificant, will start to get a big thing done inside of you that will resonate something good to have a harvest later for you. I mean, but some people take the same thing in reverse. They'll do the same thing. They'll take something that's good, and I know this is not a good word, try to get something good, but use different things for it. Like they'll use the law system, or they'll pull their weight in the court system, or they'll pull favors in their local government or with the police department or fire department. See, now you're using a small thing for a bad reason. Let your motive be right. Let your motive be pure. See, you can use this principle one way or another, for good or for bad. But if you use it for bad, please remember, bad gonna come back to you. But if you take the principle, which is actually in Scripture, which we read, you'll get a big thing done, and God will get the glory.
Amen.
Because what does it say in verse 28 and 29? He's taking the best thing, the base things of this world, which are despised. Them the ones that's what God has chosen. So when you see that one person, or if you are that one person that's getting bullied, or you're that one person that can't seem to fit in, or you're that one person that's always having lunch by yourself, or you're that person that doesn't seem to be popular, have a lot of people around you, you're a loner, you are the base thing that Christ can and will use if you allow.
That's good.
I didn't make this up, right here in Scripture.
Yes, but that's good.
You may say, well, I'm weak. Okay, well, when you're weak, he's strong. You are the one that he can and will use. You don't have to walk around with your head down, have puppy dog eyes. Christ will and can use you. He has just dropped my spirit. You will see a man carrying a water pot. Follow him. Has use of the upper room. Or get the donkey. Master has use of the ass. He has use of you, and I'm not calling you an ass. That's part of the scripture.
If you
took that, people, that way, please, I didn't mean it that way. He has use of you. Is there another who would like to add? Brother Moderator, you have anything you would like to add?
I'm just trying to leave the mics open, you know, for everyone else. You know, but since you're calling me out, I guess I might as well go ahead and speak out.
Because you always want to be quiet.
That is so true. That is so true. You know, when I like that topic, you know, that you use in terms of, you know, taking small things, you know, and how God looks at, you know, the small things in our life, you know, like humility, you know, just being humble. You know, you don't have to brag on yourself. You don't have to boast on yourself. You know, so when I think of that, I think of being humble and humility. And God can do great things through people who are humbled and who show humility. Because I truly believe that that's the passion of God's heart, is when we are sensitive to others. Sensitive to others.
Amen.
You know, and oftentimes people think that that's considered weak in this world. You have to be aggressive. You have to speak out. Let me tell you something. When I was coming up, I found that those that didn't say much was the ones who knew much. Those
That's
that
right.
didn't say much knew much. Why? Because they was quick to hear and slow to speak.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So those are my thoughts, you know, in terms of, you know, from what you're saying from this topical piece.
And I would like to also add on that words can be small, they can be large. But anyway, the value of words and how we utilize them, words can really be a cornerstone or a building tool, or it can be an item of destruction. But the smallest words can actually really, you know, really build a person up spiritually, physically, and we have to realize we do have that ability and utilize it in the manner in which God intended for us to do so. Just a small word could be just a smile. You know, it doesn't have to be a word. You take it even more simplistic. Just a smile. If someone who is feeling suicidal, is feeling depressed,
mm-hmm.
you smiled at them.
Amen.
Everything
small
else
thing.
Is just so horrible to them during the scope of the day, the week, the month. Just the fact that you smiled at them, made eye contact, made a difference.
Small thing, that's right.
So we have to be introspective of ourselves and our actions and the little things.
Amen, amen, amen. I'm just going to piggyback off of what my brother was saying. You know, just saying good morning to someone. Just saying good morning. How often do we walk past others and just don't even say good morning? Real simple, real small.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, someone could be feeling like they were ready to commit suicide. And just because you said or spoke to them could have changed their direction, the direction of their lives.
Yeah, that's good.
Just hello.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes.
And I'd like
yes.
to
yes.
add.
Mm-hmm.
Hello. I'd like to add something to that. You can also take that and do the flip side. It can destroy a person as well as it
Come
can
on, I was gonna add that. That's right.
Amen.
Can destroy a person because we don't know a person's story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm John's sister, so he and I had just had this conversation an hour ago.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful
mm-hmm.
of what we say. Who we say it to, because you never know who's around listening. Because that one person that you're talking about is the one person that heard that, and they could be on the edge and just ready to, I mean, you could possibly be accountable for that person killing themselves.
That's right.
Be very careful of what we say and how we act. That's the God thing to do, and like Pastor said, the look, the touch. We don't know how it affects the person. Again, if you can be having the worst day, and that right there, you don't think you did anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you, that person, they are so thankful for that.
Amen. And God's glory. That's good. That's good.
I remember years ago. When my daddy was around, my daughter, and I say this jokingly, I think many of you would understand when I say this, my daddy and my daughter, his granddaughter, them two were so coochie crunch, it made me sick. I just got sick when I would see them two together. not literally. I think you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And one day my daughter said to her grandfather, she said, "Grandpa, you the best." What did she say that for?
Mm-hmm.
My daddy, I believe, stayed on the mountaintop for the rest of the time he was here on earth. That small thing, he every time we talked, which really wasn't often, we would go 2-3 months without talking, but every time we talked, he made it his business to say, "How's my itty bitty? How my baby girl?" Because she told me I was the best.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Small thing. And at the same token, Brother Moderator, as you would say to somebody, you could say, "Good morning." But as your sister said, on the flip side, you can mess it up. You could say good morning, and somebody could turn around and say, "But what's so good about it?"
Mm-hmm.
And if you let it, that small reply could ruin the rest of your day, if you let it.
There it is. That's the point, if you let it.
If you let it.
Because, Pastor Miles, you know that issue back then was your issue, right?
That's
a blessing to Dad. You know that, right?
Oh, yeah, I know it was a blessing to Dad. But yeah. I'll tell you something.
But I know how it made you feel. Yeah.
No, I was happy with them two, but it was like when them two were together, my heart was overjoyed.
Yeah, amen.
Now, anybody who knows me knows I'm a daddy's boy.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who really know I'm a daddy's boy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody thinks the boys gravitate to know I'm daddy's boy.
Mm-hmm.
And don't have no problem telling the world that. But those two, I'm speaking it from the angle of when she said that.
Right.
It made him feel good. Now, when I said they make me sick, they never make me sick.
I know. Mm-hmm.
But I use that as an example of that small thing
and
that seemed insignificant coming from that small body.
Mm-hmm.
Made a big thing happen.
And like the minister said, when she says, and the person overheard, they heard that, and you heard that. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Amen.
So just remember, there's people who are wise. There's people who like to argue. There's people
mm-hmm.
who are scholars. These are people who think that they're much learning, they're much education, they're much money. There's a lot of history behind why Paul wrote that, which really I did not want to get into, to take away from this concept that I want to abstract from the text. But a lot of that has to do with the history of Corinth and the area and the region where they were, which
right.
was really dealing with spirituality,
mm-hmm.
which was actually dealing with whom they would follow. But I really want to take out of verses 25 229 to really talk to that person who feels that you are a nobody. You are the very same person that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can use.
Amen.
Don't ever think that you can't be used, because you can be.
Mm-hmm.
The question is, are you willing to be that vessel? Matter of fact, I think I have a little time left. Let me run this by you.
Mm-hmm.
If you are that person right now, first of all, I would like to open up the invitation. If you are listening and you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are in position right now for Christ to use you.
Amen.
All you have to do is believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Do you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins?
Yes.
And he went down in the grave.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up 3 days later with all power in his hand. Do you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you said yes, my brother, my sister, you are now saved. You are now the righteousness of God. You are in the body. Now, you are in position to be used by Christ. Jesus, because man. Scripture says he does not hear the prayer of sinners. Yeah. Now, I know people all say we all sinners saved by grace. According to Scripture, that's not true. You can't be a saint and a sinner at the same time. Like a woman cannot be pregnant and not pregnant at the same time. By Scripture, that's not true. You understand the concept, but by Scripture, it's not true. You are now the righteousness of Christ. God can use you, and he wants to use you. Are you willing to be that vessel to be used? I think I have about maybe 2 minutes and some change left. Brother Moderator, I want to turn it on over to you, let you have the little closing remarks. But is there anybody else that has anything to say before I hand it over?
Thank you for your words of wisdom and its application to our lives. And individually, you know, take this information in and apply it to our lives. We have to give, you know, profound thought to it and how we're going to better our lives by following God's word, following God's direction.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. The mics are open if there are any more comments.
This was a good message, Pastor Miles.
Well, I'm glad you did receive it, because this was an angle in which I never came from this angle before with that text. And this was on me all week long.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, I didn't even want to come this angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to be obedient.
But it's good, because we overlook the small things. And we overlook even in ourselves, we overlook it. But God directed you. He doesn't want us to overlook it, because what he puts in us and what we have, what he's made us to be, and the small things can get the big things done.
Amen. 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 And in closing with that, it definitely was a word, and I pray that those of you who are listening by internet as well as by via phone received a word at this time. I truly pray that you did receive a word at this time. Small things get big things done. Gets big things done. If you ever get in a boat, the smallest thing in that boat is going to be a rudder. And I guarantee you, if you're in that boat and if you do not have a rudder, you will not have any direction at all.
Come on now.
That's good.
In that boat is the rudder.
That's good.
And it directs that big boat. So God uses small things to get big things done. Pastor Miles, we do thank you for allowing the Lord to use you. We do pray that God will continue to bless you. Please keep Pastor Robinson up in prayer. And I believe there are some others. Sister Stokes, the young lady that you had mentioned, you wanted to keep her in prayer. What is her name?
Amber Benenhelly.
Benenhelly.
Amber Benenhelly.
Well, also want to keep in prayer. Keep in prayer, my pastor, my Bishop Palmer. Pray for him and the whole family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And it's,
amen.
It's good to hear you, Minister Aletha. Thank God. Good to hear.
Praise
you.
God for you. Yes.
Praise
God
the Lord.
Bless
praise
you.
The Lord. Praise. We thank each and every one of you for sharing what God has poured out in you. And keep in mind that God is not looking at what we look like. He's not looking at what we do. But when he sees us, he's seeing the Spirit of Christ. And we do thank you for sharing that. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. We hope to see you next week.
My mind. Blog Talk Radio.